Are we recording?
Yeah, I'm just gonna say like, hey, what's going on? We're gonna start it in the middle of something. A little bit of a nice cold opening.
A nice cold opening.
Is this our opening?
No. What's cold? What's open?
He's been recording.
Your mom?
Oh. He's been recording. I asked Siri to make an hour and a half timer.
I'm not leaving. I'm here for the recording.
All right, are you ready?
Go.
All right, welcome to another episode of The Drive-In. This is the episode part two of the Drunk Drive-In.
Part two.
As I've been throwing out Electric Boogaloo.
As I've been.
Okay. It's Drunk Drive-In Part Two, Electric Boogaloo.
No.
Is the full title.
As we found out in our movie tonight, it's Drunk Drive-In Part Buku Buku Buku.
Buku Buku
Buku Buku Buku Buku. The Shazam version.
It's Kazam!
Kazam.
He's calling Spoiler it Shazam. Alert. Damn it, Casey.
All right, so as you may know by now, as you've been able to tell, so we watched the 1996 classic, the Tony-nominated, or Oscar-nominated, for those of you who actually know the difference. Oscar-nominated, it wasn't nominated for
okay,
any Oscars, don't
up.
Worry. Kazam.
You say classic.
Those effects were boss.
Those effects were 1996 high end.
Pause. Why does Aaron sound sober? Did you drink anything?
Aaron has a sober announcer voice. If you make announcer voice, you sound sober.
If you make announcer voice.
Your vocabulary does not match the voice.
Oh, God.
So all we have to do is all four of us have to do announcer voice the entire time. And all of us are going to sound sober for the entire podcast.
The fact that you guys are going into announcer voice clearly shows everyone listening that we're not sober.
Anyway, we have an hour and 27 minutes.
Jordan has decided that this is going to be a shorter episode. Hey, if we get under an hour and a half, we do. But at this point, I think it is my goal to go past an hour and a half just to piss Jordan off.
This goes out to future Jordan. This is for you. Future Jordan hates listening to our podcasts.
Future Jordan is probably...
I hate it when mommy and daddy fight.
Yeah, we haven't introduced everybody.
Mom and dad are fighting again.
So, okay, we watched Kazam, and we have three guest hosts, much like last drive-in, drunk drive-in.
Mm-hmm. And we have opinions.
And we had a good old...
I thought you were going to say pinata.
We had a good old time watching Kazam. So, as we did with the last episode, and as I've kind of been doing periodically... Let's go around the room and see what are we drinking tonight, and what have we been drinking, because it's clear that there's been a couple beverages. So Carly is our first guest host of the night. Carly, welcome, and what are you drinking?
Hi, I'm Carly, and I have been drinking Dogfish Head Flesh and Blood.
Yeah, it's actually called that, because it has flesh and blood in it.
It's a blood orange IPA with lemon flesh or something. I don't know. It said flesh and blood on it, so I bought it.
She bought it, just so she could say it.
That's,
you know.
Yes, true.
Next.
Casey, one of our Avengers Infinity War guest hosts, he's back. Casey, what are you drinking?
Hey, Aaron, thank you for having me. I am drinking I am drinking Bird Dog Whiskey and have been for the entire film. I'm almost certainly the drunkest person at the table, but...
Well, when you play a drinking game to Kazam, and anytime anybody is sipping something for said drinking game, you're like, oh, okay, yeah. We'll give you guys the rundown of it. But if they're like, oh my god, they said wish, and everyone takes a sip. Our sip is like 1/8 of Casey's sip, because he's drinking straight liquor tonight. So.
I've got like a 10th. I'm drinking IPA.
I'm drinking cider, so mine's like 1/15.
Yeah.
It's a hard cider. Boom.
A very hard cider, sure.
Yeah. All right.
You both forgot a drink.
I said wish, guys.
Well, no.
Oh.
Drink.
Excuse me. What drink did you both drink that night?
Oh.
We also had a shot of... What was that shot that we did?
It had Jell-O and it had gin, and it was left over from the 4th of July.
The things I remember about it also.
With whipped cream on top and sprinkles.
Yes.
And by the time this comes out, it will be August. So, just so you guys are aware.
I was not in this state for the 4th of July, and yet here I am taking Jell-O shots.
There you go.
And now you're in... this state for the 4th of July.
America. Jordan. Jordan, as you guys know by now, is my wonderful wife.
I didn't get to introduce myself.
And she is back again after being the very, very first guest host. And she's been on as the designated fill-in when I can't find anybody. Jordan, what are you drinking tonight?
I don't even like this podcast.
Pinch hitter.
The pinch hitter of the drive-in. What have you been drinking tonight?
I've been drinking two things. Tallgrass Brewing Company Blueberry Lemon Ale, which is a session sour ale. And currently my favorite obsession, Aaron.
It's your favorite obsession, because it's a session.
Shut up. Anyway. Hi, kitten. that was Sawyer.
Guess who was Sawyer?
Hey, kitty. Aaron bought me two sixers, so I have 12 of these. I've had three, and I'm now drinking currently Bud Light Orange, made with real orange peels.
Not the oranges, it's just the orange flesh, Jordan. Not blood, though.
And I am drinking a cider. It's called Beak and Skiff, 1911 established.
Is it made from birds and
tropical birds? Hard cider. It is a pineapple mango cider. It's very good.
Let me see. Hold on.
The can has a very real texture.
Exactly. Hear this sound. Do you hear that? That's exactly what the can feels like.
So if you guys can hear sound, or feel sound, sorry.
I think we can all hear it. Sound unless we're hard of hearing, capitalized or uncapitalized.
Yep. Anyway.
So that, Jordan's 22 minutes. Looking at the time. We are currently 7 minutes and 23 seconds into the podcast, and Jordan is ready to go to bed already.
I'm not ready for bed, I'm just ready to be on the couch, not at the dining room table.
All right, so yeah, we watched Kazam and we had some drinking rules. We had 4 rules, even though I don't think we drank to one of them ever because it was kind of ambiguous.
We drank to a lot of
We made up our own, which kind of took place of one or the other. So the very first one was rhymes and raps. And if you haven't seen Kazam, Shaq pretty much decided, hey, I want to make a movie so I can launch my rap career. So there's a lot of that. The second one was if any time the kid or Shaq annoyed us, and we never really found that.
I drank to that a lot.
If they were annoying as a duo, a sidekick duo, remember?
Yeah, and it never really popped up.
I mean, because they were all constantly annoying.
We did replace, or I don't know if we replaced, because we probably drank to it a couple times. We did add one that was anytime Shaq... calls himself Kazam, like I am Kazam, which is kind of his like way of doing magic. So he said it a few times. And then we had anytime they said genie or wish, that was the go-to.
Yeah,
wish was said probably about 100 times in this movie.
Oh yeah,
so that was a good one. And then anytime there was a reference to the boombox, or we saw the boombox, which is his genie lamp. Genie, drink.
Drink.
I'm not gonna do that the whole time. But Jordan's Snapchatting, and that's what you heard, because she doesn't know how to do anything without ruining production value.
Oh, is this production value? Sorry.
All right, so what did you guys think of Shaq's breakout film, Kazam?
Wait, I thought we discovered this was not his breakout film.
Well, this is his second. He did what was like Blue Chips or something, which I've never seen. But that
was really not a breakout film.
Well, Shaq Fu was in '94, but Shaq Fu was a video game on Sega Genesis that was not very good.
Okay.
Well, now hold on. Because I had Shaq Fu as a child.
I did too.
On the Sega Genesis, and I played it an awful lot. I feel like any video game that you play an awful lot has merit.
I don't know. I mean, like, I mean, I'm looking back through the video games that I've played throughout my day, and not all of them have been good. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
No?
I
had a Sega Saturn, so no.
Oh, so no, yeah, no.
Like, 98% of those that came out on Sega Saturn were garbage. I don't know, Shaq Fu, though. Like, okay, Shaq Fu's premise is Shaq magically learns Kung Fu. And yes. It is a bunch of random characters that have no context that also know some variety of karate. And it's like a shitty version of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. It's basically Mortal Kombat, but like with the story stripped away, replaced by Shaq, who's learned Kung Fu, and, oh, he needs enemies.
To be fair,
put some people in who know Kung Fu.
What story could not be made better by stripping away the protagonist and replacing it with a Shaq who knows Kung Fu and replacing all of their characters with, I don't know, some enemies? Pride and Prejudice instead of Elizabeth Bennet. We have Shaq who knows Kung Fu. instead of Darcy,
okay.
It's just an enemy.
The irony of all of this is when you said get rid of a protagonist and add Shaq who knows Kung Fu and then a bunch of guys who needs to fight. That's pretty much the entire premise of Kazam. But
yeah.
You also added the element that he knows Kung Fu and magic.
Why not both?
In fairness, I would 100% read Pride and Prejudice starring Shaq who knows Kung Fu.
I mean, they've already
Shaq
made Pride and Prejudice
Shaq.
And zombies, so
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is all we got next. So it was interesting. I will say this: it was better than I remembered it being,
mm-hmm.
but it was also worse in areas that I remember it being.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shaq was not doing anything different than what you have seen him do throughout his career and after career and all this other crap. He just was like. He memorized lines and wore very stereotypical racist genie outfits.
He was having fun.
Sure, yeah. This was the 90s. At this point, he was just sort of having fun with the genie thing.
It was a different time.
Sure, yeah. I mean, this was like 20 years ago. This was 22 years ago.
This is 22 years ago.
I really want to pause.
Oh, God, I feel so old. I'm leaving now.
You're very old. I really want to pause the movie when he has the milagros, the silver medallions that are sewn into his costume,
mm-hmm.
that are all in different shapes. He has it a couple times, but particularly when he first appears as a genie, Shaq has milagros sewn into his turban, which is really interesting because I associate those with Spanish-Mexican Catholic faith, that you have silver little symbols of different things you're praying about, and I didn't know about them in like connection to Arabic symbolism, so I really, as a fucking nerd, want to pause and look at them and see what the symbols actually are that Shaq as Kazam would be carrying to pray about. Like,
and
the whole movie, this bother, I'm like, What are those symbols? What are they for?
That's
what is he praying?
You?
Yes.
See, and in this regard, you are digging more deeply than 99.999% of the Shazam.
Kazam.
Kazam.
You can't say Shazam.
Casey? It's Kazam.
I tell you, Casey, in Kazam, like your name Casey, it alliterates. In Kazam, the costumer also alliterates. Cared about what symbols she sewed onto that costume.
Did she
also
though?
Alliterates?
I don't know. I was less worried about the costume elements in this movie and the not so subtle like pedophilia.
Yeah.
Oh, so awkward.
Like, it's like, okay, I understand in the 90s we were all a little bit like our threshold of adult celebrity to child interaction ratio was,
I don't know if
like,
we call it a threshold.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of
no
cute.
One had an issue
sure.
with Michael Jackson hanging out with Macaulay Culkin.
No, people had issues with it.
Macaulay Culkin
well,
has
but
a
this
lot
one
of
they
problems.
Filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sold this as a film.
I don't know.
Theaters.
Yeah.
But okay. Let's discuss the plot. I mean, there was a plot. It was very loose. It
was
very interesting. To try to mangle. We never really came back to this element The movie starts out.
You say plot.
Movie starts out with like this very interesting. I say interesting loosely. Slow pan of a abandoned something building.
Sure.
It was a shop because there was a sales.
Ah, there was a sales sign.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's this abandoned building, and all of a sudden, this genie lamp style lamp falls over, and Shaq's screaming. But we never come back to that.
Because it sounds like Grandpa having sex.
But it's, I mean, who else is it going to be?
There is literally no context for that scene.
It never comes back around.
Did he ever, because I asked, what was the whole point with him falling from his lamp or whatever? And you guys said, he'll explain.
We're just trying to shut you up.
Well, no, is it because he, like, is it because he goes into the boombox? Because the lamp, like, in the initial scene, the lamp exists, obviously.
Is there a cutscene we missed?
No.
Like,
unlike the last episode of Drunk Driving, this was not an edited version. Like, we didn't get the TV, this was, like, the actual version of
the show.
No, but I
mean, was there a cutscene that didn't make it to theatrical release?
That seems like one that you'd want to include, though.
Well,
right.
Sure, but there are a lot of cutscenes you want to include that don't make it to theatrical release.
But, like, the lamp didn't break or anything, it just fell, and then we heard yelling and screaming, and then they were...
And there was a fade-out, and then we were in the 90s.
And then we were in the 90s. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that first scene.
How Shaq got from lamp... to boombox.
Can we talk about how good Shaq looked, though?
Shaq was in peak athletic condition.
He's
this is him.
Beautiful man. I don't remember him looking like that.
Like I mentioned this towards like the middle half of the movie, and I was like, so I want to see. I looked at his career, and this came out in '96. And 1996 was Shaq's last year with the Orlando Magic. So I was like, okay, first off, he's playing a genie, and he was playing for the Magic, which I thought was funny. But this was his last year with the Magic. This is only like his like second or third year in the NBA. So he's like, he's not old Shaq like lumbering down the court. He's like young.
Mm. Yeah, this is
he's
peak
beautiful.
Shaq for this film.
This is Shaq who could learn some Shaq Fu. Shaq.
Oh no.
This is Shaq Steele.
This is well, no, that's
oh
a couple
no, that's
years
another
later.
Movie. Sorry.
That's later.
Sorry.
Ugh.
But yeah, so after the really odd, ambiguous scene with the lamp, we find out about our main character, kind of main character, Max.
Oh,
sure.
And Max is like...
audience surrogate.
Yeah.
Basically.
Apparently we all look like homeless people in the 90s.
With Max wore the same... Max wore the same fucking shirt the entire movie. Shaq had about 14 costumes.
He had like three. He just changed a lot.
No, there were a lot of accessories.
He had some variety.
Except for that.
But Max could only get the one blurry shirt
and the vest.
In the vest the entire time.
That was a camper's vest.
Because like shirt and vest is all 90s, right?
Also, he was 12 and those were a men's extra large. He was wearing a shirt. Which I get is the 90s look, but it looks like garbage. 1990s. It looks like garbage.
This show was so 90s. There's so many elements of this movie that scream. Like, the soundtrack alone, you're looking at it and you're like, you got Left Eye from TLC, RIP.
One for Left Eye.
We're drinking.
Cheers.
Screw TC.
Yep, need that L. All
right. Anyways, and you had Backstreet Boys, 1996 Backstreet Boys. So this would have been like before Backstreet Boys were actually the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah,
it's like it's Back Alley Boys.
Well, speaking of Back Alley, we'll get there in a second. There was a scene where little Max got taken in the back of an alley. We don't know what happened to him. It's Spinderella. I mean, pretty much the only thing as far as 90s rap you were missing was Will Smith. And I say rap loosely when I say Will Smith, but
right.
90s rap. So
better than Shaq?
No. I don't know.
No.
I would pay a lot of money to see a rap battle between Shaq and Will Smith.
Have you guys ever seen epic rap battles of history?
Yeah.
Epic rap battles of history.
There would definitely be a Shaq-Will Smith one. I'll see that.
Put that in.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere.
They need, like, 100, though. So do it 100 different times.
All right, anyway.
Sorry, I'm finishing my Midwest snack of Scotcheroos.
1 hour, 9 minutes.
Jordan, would you like to explain what Scotcheroos
are? No, because I'm mad about it.
Jordan can't follow a recipe, so she's upset.
Move on, you have 1 hour, 9 minutes.
All right, so Max is discovered as this angsty 12-year-old with a really fucked up tooth.
Snaggle tooth.
Oh, it was really bad. And they like to focus in on it, too.
Right on that snaggle tooth.
You know, I'm not biased against tooth disabled.
Yeah, you are. Embrace it.
I don't know. I've got one, too. You got, like, a tooth that, like, goes in front of
I'm
another tooth.
I'm going to talk about it.
Talk
Do you
about
want
it.
A close-up on it?
Sure as shit don't.
Yeah, there's the bias.
And so the first we see of him, he's being a rough and tough bad guy, making faces in the window of his classroom at his buddy. And that's him being
It's a very high
guy.
School hijinks sort of intro.
I know.
It's a elementary school hijinks intro. Like, he's like, I'll make faces at you, haha. And then, like, 2 minutes later, fucking Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite shows up. And I'm not kidding. Look it up.
No, actually, yes. The guy from this movie is the guy from Napoleon Dynamite.
I called it. I was like, is that Pedro? And everybody's like, what? No. And we paused it, went back. It's Pedro. Napoleon Dynamite, Pedro. It happened. He was there. He played, what was his name?
He played, like, other
That's
films.
A great question.
Efren
Bully
Ramirez.
Bully number two.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Efren Ramirez, who's
Carlos
only been in a
thug.
Couple movies.
Yes. Carlos the Thug.
Let's see. He was in Kazan. Carlos. He was Carlos.
Damn right he was Carlos.
Carlos.
I wasn't making
nice.
Shit up.
Well done.
Yep. He was.
I know
that
Carlos
was.
Is.
Yeah, that was his third movie. He was in Jury Duty.
Yeah.
Talk about 90s. Pauly Shore. He was. In, that should be on the next one. The Pauly Shore Marathon. Oh.
Do not invite me.
No. Actually, I want to say Son-in-Law is probably one of my favorite, like, growing up movies. It's so bad. So bad. I watched it about 100 times ago.
Keep moving. I'm fading fast.
Jordan's going to be in bed by the time we get to Shaq's first rap. Well, his first, like, actual singing rap.
Yeah, it took forever for him to be in this freaking movie.
He was,
How
it was, like, good 25 minutes at least.
Are we allowed?
Oh, I've dropped a few, yeah.
Oh,
so
okay, good.
We're going to throw
okay,
an
good.
E on this for explicit, but if it's a drunk drive-in, you can't really expect anything other than that.
Sorry, how long did it take for him to be in this fucking movie?
Yeah, I was... Well, and then after he shows up in the first... His first scene in the abandoned house
he's
apartment,
gone.
He's gone for another 15 minutes.
Bye, Shaq.
Except for everybody, as Casey said, there's the reminder... That Shaq is still part of this movie when you see the shooting star above his bed, above Max's
Yo,
bed.
Oh, yeah. Max lays down in his bed, and you, there's, like, some sort of star thing
he's got like
his
a,
bed.
He's got, like, some sort of a constellation fixture
right,
above his bed.
Right, there's this very, like,
weird
extremely 90s, like...
constellation cutout above his bed.
It's pretty cool.
Right, and then, like, you see a shooting star above it, and you hear Shaq very distantly go...
It looks like the ceiling of the
Shaq,
bedroom
though.
Of a guy I would have given a blowjob to in
that
the ninth
after
grade.
He found Shaq.
Okay, say that one
well,
more time.
Yes,
no,
but
I
this
won't.
Was to clarify that like Shaq was still in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It was
it'd been more than 10 seconds since we got a wrap. So they're like, hey guys, just wait. He's coming back.
Okay, back on track. He's bullied. I'm trying to keep us all there. He was bullied. He goes home. His mom's like, where you been? Because he's fucking 12 and it's 10 o'clock at night.
But
she has no clue.
To be fair, she doesn't say where you've been till he shows up. She's
it's
like,
not
oh,
night.
You exist.
When he comes back the first time, it's right after school.
Yeah, he's
because
gotten detention.
He got expelled or something. Like, he got
detention.
In trouble. Detention.
From
and
the
then he's like, where
teacher.
You been? And he's like, oh, you know, I got detention. And she's like, you were supposed to help
And he makes
clean.
The transphobic joke.
Oh, yeah, because he talks about his teacher who
being
is like...
Being an angry man in a woman's body. And all of us went...
What?
This was the first of many.
No, 90s. No.
Oh, it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was a different time. We had a lot of...
No, we do not accept it.
No.
No, it was just like that because it's like, it's the 90s. Maybe he was gone for, like, several hours, and she wondered, but at the same time, like, it was the 90s, people just sort of did that back then.
Yeah, it was just bad.
Just a side note to those listening at home, Jordan, we've lost Jordan. She's playing with the cats. So.
Playing with the kittens.
Yep, yeah, she's over there. So, Kazam shows up as, our Max. Max is, he leaves, well, okay, hold on, we gotta talk about Travis. Got it? Because he's important.
Travis is a marginally important character about which we need to talk.
The middlest most important character.
So, like, we talked about, like, the stepdad character. And who was it that was like, oh, Jordan. Jordan was like, that looks like the stepdad from the Santa Claus. And I was like, oh, you mean Judge Ryan?
The Santa Claus?
The Santa Claus. And I was like, you mean Judge Reinhold? And she's like, wait, what? I was like, Judge Reinhold. He was a stepdad in Santa Claus. And she's like, his name was Judge? I'm like, yeah, his name was fucking Judge. He's a badass. He was in Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie Murphy. Parts one and two. And, but this was not Judge Reinhold. This was...
John Costello.
That wasn't his name. Seriously, what's his name?
His name was John Costello.
In this movie?
Yeah.
She's making
his real name was John Costello. He was Travis, the fireman.
She can't remember much, ladies and gentlemen, but yes, his name was John Costello.
As Travis.
Rest in peace. Apparently died in 2008.
Shit. December of 2008.
Oh, Jesus.
Now I feel bad, sort of.
He was in such films that we all know, such as Manhattan Murder Mystery as policeman, and The Hard Way as fake dead guy / cop.
Wow.
And Law and Order as Colin Parnell.
We all remember Colin Parnell played by Mr. Costello.
He did not have a strong
Costello.
Yeah, this guy was not really in much. His fourth movie was Die Hard 2.
Hey, that's
Next movie of any note that he was in was Kazam. And then after that was Doubt in 2008.
Requiem.
Before he died?
Yeah. Ugh. So, he looked like a poor, man. He was in Doubt.
Yeah, as William Hurley, final film role.
Isn't there another actor with Costello?
That's depressing.
No, I'm thinking
Elvis.
Elvis Costello.
I'm thinking Frank Caliendo.
No, honey.
Abbott Costello.
Abbott and Costello. Wait, about Abbott and Costello? Doesn't he bring the movies for Max?
No, it's not Abbott and Costello.
No, it's a, there is a...
Well, it's not Charlie Chaplin, it's,
Well, it's not Fatty Arbuckle, because there were no rape jokes.
Wow. I'm gonna look up black and white movie comedians, or comedy actors. Buster Keaton is...
Oh, Buster Keaton.
Is Buster
Keaton...
1 hour,
1 minute.
Shut up. It was Buster Keaton. Yeah, and so, okay, anyway, so we talk about Travis. Travis shows up. Travis is he's the quote-unquote stepdad character, even though he's not a stepdad yet.
Who's a fireman?
He wants to be a stepdad. He's a fireman. Shout out to Timmy, who's not going to be listening to this. But
Tim, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And while we're throwing shout outs, Andre, here's your weekly shout out before I forget.
Andre! Love you, Dre.
Andre a person and not the dog that goes to the dog daycare where I work?
Dre is the one
who guest hosts here.
Oh, okay.
Andre was on a couple weeks ago for...
he just did Sorry
I... Sorry to Bother You.
Okay.
And he was also on for Annihilation.
Yeah. Okay, I know who you're talking about now.
Him and Kimmy. Shout out to Kimmy, my favorite.
Kimmy Schmidt.
She'll be listening to this because she'll see that it's a truck drive-in and Jordan's on it.
My love.
It's fine, she's so...
But anyway,
so
Dre and Kimmy are the ones who came from Houston.
Yeah. Jordan, we have a time limit. Come on, stay on.
1 hour and 36 seconds.
Yeah.
Go.
We're not listening.
We are fucking listening.
We have just introduced the movie Shazam.
Kazam!
No more whiskey if you can't pronounce it right. Damn it, kid.
He's drinking some whiskey. It's probably watered down by now.
Anyway.
So Kazam has introduced now the stepdad character, and Max is like, "You're not my real dad." And then he rides his bike down a flight of stairs and out and into the truck of the hooligans who are upset at him for giving them the wrong key.
Kids.
Yeah, they're like the street kids. It's
Pedro and the bullies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and that kid who had a sweet bleached hair buzz cut.
The hashtag bullies.
We thought they were. Thought there was one that was a skinhead. It was just really bleached
hair. And then we thought he was a girl. He was just a very pretty boy.
Much like Max. If you look up the character who played the actor who played the character Max, he is a very. He looks.
Not
like
what he looks like now.
He
no,
looks
don't
like
do
he
that.
Killed a man because he's got the teardrop tattoo. But he also has the very luscious eyelashes that he has as a child.
Beautiful eyelashes.
Those did not go away. So she's mmming at the Domino's cheesy bread. Hashtag Domino's sponsor the drive-in.
I fucking wish.
It'd be nice if they're listening out there. You guys get a chance.
Domino's not listening.
Catch on now before we get expensive.
Are you looking for something to sponsor?
Speaking of sponsors, who all sponsored Kazam? Pepsi.
Oh, man.
M&M.
Sunny D.
Mr. Big.
Mr. Big, which I think was a candy bar. There's another one.
All of the candy bars.
All of the candy bars.
There's another one. Hold on. What was the other one?
There was a big one. Pepsi.
Pepsi D. And Sunny D.
Jan Sports.
Oh, man. Well, that was just a costume decision.
It.
Yeah, that was rough.
There was another big one.
There was another one, too, and I can't remember. National Enquirer.
Jaguar?
Was it Shaq?
Shaq.
Executive producer.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this for a second before we continue with this plot.
20 seconds.
So, we're looking at the opening credits as they're doing this ambiguous opening scene, and executive producers pop up, and it's some random person and Shaquille O'Neal. And I was like, oh, yeah. Shaq wanted to be an executive producer to make sure that he didn't make a horrible movie. And do anything stupid, like he does in Kazam. I almost said Shaq Fu, but that was 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You would think he would have learned.
I don't know.
Guys, let's be nice to Shaq, because I might tag him in my tweet when I talk about this show.
And to be fair, he was more emotive than I expected.
Quite honestly,
right?
He did much better than I thought.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with his acting skills.
You guys are backtracking like fuck.
No.
Oh my god.
No, yeah, no. Throughout the movie, you would think his acting would be like wooden and like, oh, I'm a basketball player who like switched to being in movies, and it's a lot better than
that. Shaq had 3 moves, if that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're all great moves, they were just used repeatedly.
Okay.
The pause and smile.
Okay.
Move number one.
Pause
creepy-ass smile. The
pause.
Hey. And the number two, wiggle your fingers and say, I am Kazam, or something else that we'll get at later.
Just how we three. All had to drink.
And
sure. Yeah.
Number three is bob your head around and rap. Those are his 3 moves.
Which is also how we had to drink.
You forgot. Look sad. Whether what you're saying is sad or not, if it's serious... You look sad.
Lack of emotion, Shaq.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sad Shaq.
Sad Shaq.
Sad Shaq.
That's another one. Okay,
anyway,
so
let's get to where you found it.
We had we haven't even had that interaction.
No.
Don't eat my computer.
Eat it.
So he runs away from the ensemble of bullies and runs into this abandoned building, and we're like, hey, we remember that. That was the same building from the opener.
That's where the lamp was moaning ominously.
And then this kid has, a 50-foot fall.
Through, four stories.
Yeah
no, seriously,
should
obviously be dead.
Should not have survived.
He's hiding from his bullies, and he takes a step backwards, and it's like one of those, oh, there's a hole in the floor. Probably be careful. And he doesn't just fall through that hole, but he falls through 3 consecutive floors onto what happened to be a convenient pile of cushions, because otherwise he would have been dead.
Bullshit.
He should have been dead. Logic. Physics.
At least a fucking concussion.
At least some fucking tetanus.
Oh, shit. Something. What if Kazam was just the result of his concussion.
What if Kazam?
Oh, he's in
the whole movie is just a concussion from him falling through floors.
And his neglectful mother forgot to give him, you know, like pain to the hospital. Like.
Or Kazam is his spiritual journey with like the
before he died.
Yeah, he didn't actually. Because remember, okay, so we're getting ahead of ourselves. But Shaq at the end is this bright fucking light.
Yeah, that's
that was him going to heaven.
Oh my god.
He did. He helped his father, who was this horrible person, become better. He was a ghost. He sixth-sensed his father.
So anyway, he falls to like four floors.
Yeah, and apparently survives.
Sure, apparently.
And then he's hiding for the bullies.
Yeah,
from the bullies, and he hits a boombox.
He accidentally kicks it.
And the best Jamaican song ever, and the girls started playing.
It's like boom, boom, boom.
It was the best, and he's like, "No, stop!" And he suddenly forgets how to work a fucking boombox, but he kicked it and it worked.
Yeah.
To be fair, he fell through four floors.
True. That would
make me forget how to work a boombox. I was gonna say, yes.
He's definitely trying to regain some fine motor skills at this point.
Anyway, the bullies come running down, and he's like hiding underneath
a piece of cardboard,
and then. Kazam blows up and he's like, "I am Kazam!" And he starts fucking rapping. And that's the first time he's
So, and he's talking in this like sing-songy like, who awaked my slumber? Something about lumber. And like, it was really obvious nursery rhyme rap.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Who waked my slumber? Something about umber. I'm wearing burnt umber. You tumber?
Tumber
isn't a word, but we're drinking for this.
But
okay.
This was the first time that we got to drink according to the rules, because nothing had happened as far as an annoyance yet. We saw the boombox.
The kid was really annoying, and I drank the whole first 10 minutes of the movie.
The boombox was one of the first ones.
Rarely.
But yeah, so Shaq like beats up a bunch of gangster bully kids.
He just scares them.
He like puts his hand out and like magically wind knocks them down.
Yeah, wind knock.
It's this very like, oh, I didn't touch you, but sort of I touched you.
That's what he does the whole movie. He's like sort of not touching, but touching Max, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Accurate though, because like he puts his hand towards you and you fall. Like he didn't touch you, but like you fell over.
He wakes up in
like
Max's bed.
Didn't touch you, but you were like, "Hey, I'm on the bed." What happened there? I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't remember what happens next. So Shaq is like, "Oh, I'm your genie, and you need to make 3 wishes." And the kid's like, "Who the hell are you? I'm leaving." And then, it's like, "All right." And then Shaq's like, "No, seriously, like, have 3 wishes." And the kid doesn't want to, and he's like, "Fine, give me a black jaguar."
You've forgotten the lecture on avarice and the ethereal.
Oh yes. So if you guys have not yet studied up for your current SAT. Watch Kazam. You'll get a handful of words that will help you on the vocabulary section.
Because like Shaq will help you with your avarice or greed. He can provide material goods, but he cannot help you with ethereal wishes, which are wishes pertaining to non-corporeal thoughts or ideas.
Which is a lot for a child to understand.
Whatever you
want. But one especially who's concussed from falling 4 flights.
And I'm gonna call bullshit on that, because by the end of the movie he's like, it came from your heart, so fuck the rules of the entire movie. You get this. I'm like, okay.
No, I think the best rule of the movie is if you watch Kazam, you have to sort of pick exactly the point where Max is no longer suffering from a concussion. I think is what it is.
The point where he is dead? Because he's no longer suffering from the concussion? Or is this just a point where he's no longer...
I think no, because, like, there's a point where he falls through 4 floors of a city building, and he's obviously concussed, right, Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you... have well to decide punctured. Where the movie transitions from him being concussed to him being, like, an actual character.
Or to him being dead?
Or to him being dead in a very like, the sixth sense
saying,
sort of way.
I'm just saying, to go back to the one other episode of this podcast I've been on, in my fan fiction, he's dead the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it throws a whole wrench into the situation if he's actually dead.
My fucking timer broke, and now I don't know what's going on.
Here, I will help you.
Shit.
We're at 40 minutes.
3 hours. All We're right. at 3 hours.
So we need 50 more minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know math.
Hey, Siri.
So after... Shush. So just put it in like with your fingers like a normal person.
Set a timer for 55.
That's what
so,
she said.
So... Shaq is continuously trying to get him to make his wishes. He won't make his wishes.
Which we never figure out why he wants him to make his wishes. He doesn't
well,
say,
and,
like,
and
I can go
genie,
back to
it's
bed
the,
or whatever.
No, it's like, I mean, it's the genie theory or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, explain shit to me. I want
well,
to
no, he does
have you seen Aladdin?
Rap. He yeah. does a whole rap about genie versus djinn and how djinn means freedom and something about how that pertains to his ability to grant non-corporeal wishes, but it doesn't actually explain anything. He's just
funny.
Like, yeah, I can't do
Take
your wishes
farm.
About the heart because I'm a genie, and djinn means freedom to follow my own dreams. The end.
Yeah, and it's like, well, and it's weird because it seems like he has to grant his wishes in order to be free, but clearly he's been a genie for a long time, and he has granted wishes before. This is not like a new thing for him. So... I don't know. At some point, I don't know if this is jumping ahead, but this is the next major point I remember. Max goes back home. Carly's opening another. It's fine.
Oops.
It's no problem. This is the drunk driving. You
Never
don't have
six.
To apologize for that. And he goes back home and he's like, oh my gosh, divorce papers that are just happen to be laying around underneath like the Pizza Hut ad. And he looks at it and he's like, oh, my dad's name is something something Mateo.
So, Nick Mateo.
Yeah. In the first scene that Max has with his mom and his mom's boyfriend who would like to be engaged
Travis.
To his mom, Travis, the mom mentions that there were divorce papers, and Max says, divorce papers, but you don't know where my dad is, so he could never sign the divorce papers. And she's like, well, I'm incompetent.
She's like, yeah, about that.
And Travis is like, son, I think we should probably talk about this as though we respected each other. And so Max runs away.
You're not my dad.
Yeah. So he comes back and he's like, wait, mom said there were divorce papers. And Travis corroborated this.
Oh, shit. See, I told you it was weird. It was counting down for 2 minutes.
Well,
he said it for a minute and 50 seconds.
So that's what happens when I
There are
52
things. Minutes and 40 seconds left, so...
Anyway.
So he finds these divorce papers, he finds out where his dad... He finds out his dad's name, and then as Jordan mentioned, and she's got a point, the address on the divorce papers was to his business that apparently he didn't own, because later in the movie we find out that this other guy owns the place, but he's just, like, the manager. So... The divorce papers
Baruch
had...
Bad guy.
Yeah, it was weird.
Divorce papers would usually have your home address.
Yeah.
Or at least a postal address.
Yeah.
So
not
he goes...
fucking club that you work at.
Max goes to this place, and Shaq is, like, stalking him. He's, you know, real creepy about it.
Every time it pans over, Shaq is watching this child making grinning faces at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like this...
Did you guys notice he had a suitcase at one point? It was... Not a suitcase. Excuse me, I mean a briefcase. It wasn't the boombox he was carrying at one point. It was
just
a fucking briefcase. Is it why?
They forgot?
I guess.
Shaq just said in his production notes that he wanted Kazam to have a briefcase.
Oh, was it Kazam?
Yes, it wasn't Shaq.
Kidding.
That one clip was Kazam.
Shaq Kazam.
Shaq, savior of the universe. Flash. Anyways, so he goes and sees his dad, and his dad's like, who the hell are you? Are you a carrier, messenger kid? Got messages for me? And he's like, no, I'm Max. And he's like, oh. And then Max leaves, and Shaq's there, and the guy's like, oh, I like your costume. And he's like, alright, cool. And they leave. And he's, then Max decides to go to his underground lair.
which is a weirdly expansive urban junkyard. Like,
yeah.
I'm not kidding when I say his underground lair.
He has electrical engineered a light-up throne.
No,
himself.
Seriously. Like, the lighting on this thing is, like, extensive.
Did it bother anyone that every single fucking light was on except for the street light? The,
I knew it would bother you.
The yellow, red, and green lights. It was all just not on. And I was like, why? But then, after Kazam, like, fucking shoots around the room, they magically go on.
Yeah, they have a bike race in the middle.
The chef turns everything on.
Yeah, it's this weird sort of, like, look at these sick bike moves in the middle of this, like, movie.
And we're not talking motorcycle.
No, we're talking about, like, BMX-ish.
Bicycles. Yeah, not even BMX. Like, one step above a banana seat.
Right, well, where this isn't going to be impressive.
Yeah.
And the funny part is, Max decides, like, hey... I'm upset. I'm going to ride my bike away from this guy. And then Shaq finds a bike, and he's like, I'm going to ride my bike next to this kid. And then we're going to turn this into a race. And they're riding straight. They're not turning at all. They are racing each other for a good minute and a half, going straight, pedaling as fast as they can. But they're not going anywhere. That's like, the biggest fucking warehouse I've ever seen.
That has to be like 2.5 city blocks?
Shaq's
at least.
Infinite warehouse.
And then Shaq's bike turns into, like, a magic golden bike, and he's like, oh, you're actually magic. Well, no shit.
Yeah, that was not a transformation that was necessary within the fiction of the film.
Yeah, because we kind of knew that he was magic, you know, for every single time that he was just popping up in front of Max.
That alone should have been enough for Max to realize, hey, this guy's not normal, because he ran out of the building, and then the guy was standing outside holding his bike. Like, okay.
Max is a bit slow, though.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
So then he's like, oh my gosh, you're actually a genie. I want to take my first wish. And he wishes for food. And then...
Sorry, Max, go home. You have a mother who, when she sees you, remembers you, and I assume would feed you.
It's a pretty large assumption.
Well, she always has Sunny D on hand.
A lot of Sunny D.
So much Sunny D.
And not even like the Sunny D that you would expect out of it's the bottles. It's
individual
portions
of Sunny D.
That's not cheap.
No.
That's like upper middle class shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buying like separate bottles of Sunny D.
He's got the I'm okay with my child being hospitalized for dehydration Sunny D. What that happened to my childhood friend?
So speaking of childhood, I mentioned to everybody as this happened, my favorite part of the part of the movie that I always remembered as a kid, was when candy and candy bars, gumballs and jelly beans and all this other sugary shit, fell from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking to myself as a young fat child, dear God, can this actually happen? And I'm trying to figure out a way as a kid how to make it happen, and I never figured it out. But it was amazing. Psst, Mr. Big. Psst. Is that an actual candy bar?
Guys, idea for Aaron's 30th birthday.
Yeah.
We just surprised him by throwing shit at his face, which is just candy bars.
Okay, so true story. I had a surprise birthday party once.
Yeah.
I'd gone out with a friend for my birthday. I was like, I'm going to have a quiet birthday. We'll just go out and get some coffee. And she was like, oh, this other friend texted me, so let's go pick her up and we'll all go get coffee. It'll be great. And I opened the door to her house, and all of a sudden people were setting off streamers. And my first thought was, oh no, her little sister's birthday is in 2 days. They threw her a birthday party, and I ruined it. They've set up all their streamers. What are they going to do? No, it was a setup for my surprise birthday party. I just thought it was for someone else, obviously, not for me.
Nice.
So now I worry when I have surprise birthday parties for other people to make sure, like, I have signs that say, like, this is for you. This is intentional. We like you specifically.
Listen, we're all going to dress up as Kazam.
Yes.
On Aaron's 30th birthday, we're going to throw candy at his face.
This is good. Yeah, I'll just
I see nothing wrong
wear
with this
a sign that says, I am Shaq, hide your children.
So here.
I am Kazam!
This is important. Sorry. I looked it up because I didn't think Mr. Big was an actual candy bar. It is. It is the largest size candy bar produced by the company Cadbury yeah. Cream Eggs, sure, in Canada. Hence the name, Mr. Big. The standard bar is made of a layered vanilla wafer coated in caramel, peanuts, and rice crisps.
Is it called a Mr. Standard?
This is the creepy part. No, hold on. Covered in a brown simulated chocolate-like coating.
Oh. Ew!
So it's not even real chocolate.
No!
I'm sorry, chocolate-like.
Okay, so that tells me that it is all palm oil and ground orangutans.
Apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's like bits of real panda. It's not real chocolate. It's simulated chocolate-like coating.
I will send you this,
wow.
My friend.
Now hold on now. Cadbury cream eggs. I'm looking to see if those are real. If that's real chocolate or not.
I bet you they're not real. Not, those are nasty.
That doesn't sound.
It does.
Real.
No,
they're gross.
Have you ever had a Cadbury cream egg?
Milk
yeah,
chocolate
yeah.
Okay.
Within the EU.
It says the product consists of a thick chocolate shell. All right, I can continue
yeah.
eating it. Housing a white and yellow fondant filling, which mimics
fondant.
The albumin and yolk of a chicken egg.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just it's like a
Sorry.
sugar. Sugar inside,
Sorry.
Chocolate outside.
Why
I continue.
Does anyone want to simulate eating a raw egg? That's fucking disgusting.
Rocky.
Call me Rocky.
I am the tiger, it's the yolk of the egg.
Okay, but have you seen
Get
that?
Out.
I will not.
Okay, we need to wrap this up.
Wrap it up? We're getting close
so
to halfway.
The child met Shazam.
Kazam.
Look what you've done, Casey. We've met Shaq is now part of the show. We're at his dad. He goes and sees
yeah.
his dad. After his dad, no, we're at the candy bars. So after he realizes that Shaq in or / Kazam, whatever, he plays the same goddamn person.
Shaq-Zam.
Yeah. That's why you keep saying Shazam, because it's Shaq-Zam. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Shaggy.
Yeah.
Shaggy. But he's going through and he's like, okay, yeah, you're actually a genie. He's like, oh, so you're a genie, and until I give the other two wishes,
I own you.
And you're like, reparations and slavery and things.
No.
Right, like
no,
a weird
no.
slavery joke that does not play well
no.
in this era.
And this kid has it, like Carly said earlier while we're watching this, he's got this shit-eating grin as he's like, I fucking own you, bitch. What are you going to do? And Shaq's like, technically... And you're like, all right, well, I guess this is going to take a weird turn.
It is weird.
Like, I guess I relate to this character, but like, I'm uncomfortable
no.
with that.
No, it's bad.
Bad.
And so the rest of the movie is pretty much this concept of trying to figure out when to do the wishes, when not to do the wishes, and then all of a sudden you throw in this, like, adult situation. Because, oh, the dad works for this... Okay, hold on. The dad works for Malik, whose character, the character name is Malik, but Marshall Manesh is the guy's name. And if you've ever seen How I Met Your Mother, he plays the cab driver, the limo driver from How I Met Your Mother. And I can't remember, Ranjit.
Also, he looks exactly the same. That man is timeless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is 1996, and Ranjit wasn't really a thing until, what, like 2007, 8 or something
right.
like that? So good on you, Marshall.
There was at least a decade where he didn't age.
Yeah, he just skipped it. He skipped the late 90s and decided he cut his fake hair because it was clearly a wig.
About.
Or extensions, I don't know, like a fake ponytail.
It was real.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah?
Looked it up.
Alright. So, alright, we're getting to the point where the movie's definitely shifting, because it's gonna get dark here in a second. So we're gonna take a quick little break. We gotta do that thing, and the, I don't know, Jujubes and refilling popcorn and drinks.
Remind people not to drink and drive.
Oh, this is a good time. Yes, as we are drinking a lot of beverages that are of the adult consummation.
I'm trying to be like Kazam. No, it's fine.
Throwing out big words
oh,
and hoping.
Are you going to rhyme? Guys, Aaron's rapping.
Oh,
okay.
Hold up.
No. So,
what rhymes with consummation?
Jubilation.
Nope.
No, yet. If you
masturbation.
As you go on with your joyful libations, don't plan on this consummation. Don't get on the road if you don't want to be a chode.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's even worse than mine.
Wow.
Wow, Shaq here, would be ashamed.
I'm gonna give you guys a quick little slant rhyme before we go.
No.
To our break. So this is a Shaq. Make sure that if you wanna be super, if you're gonna be on the drunk drive in, make sure you get an Uber. Alright, we'll be back in a second.
That was awful. Did you hear yourself say I'm gonna do a Shaq?
Welcome back to another, the second half. I was going to say another episode. We did that part already. Yep. The second half of the Drunk Drive-In Part 2. Electric Boogaloo. So, we've talked about how Shaq is a genie, and the kid's like, oh my gosh, you're a genie. I own you now. Slavery kind of a thing.
Horrible.
And we're not just saying that, because this is actually referenced later where Shaq's like, I'm not your slave. But to the Indian guy, it's okay. So the second part of the movie, honestly, is fairly simple. The kid is, Max goes to his dad's, whatever, dance club. I don't know.
A recording studio?
It's a dance club and recording studio. Yeah, it's both.
It's something that I don't think I've ever seen in real life.
Yeah, no. It's a sort of like club slash studio.
But they record.
What did clubs in the 90s look like?
I would assume like clubs in the 2000s, but with more spandex.
The whole plot is that there is
more
tape they're going to release.
We definitely thought all of them were going to be something.
Yeah.
They probably were, just off camera.
Yeah, we couldn't see it.
Everyone, like right before it panned over to them, they were just snorting coke. And then as it panned to them, they were like...
They all itch their noses a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of nose itching. It's just allergy season.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Max.
But yeah, so he goes to his dad's club. We'll just call it the club. And then the kids who were bullying him earlier were like, what are you doing here? And then I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
Right?
You're maybe 14.
Yeah.
Max is 12.
Hold on. Before that, him and Shaq get in there to go see his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq starts rapping, and he brings up his boombox, and fireworks come out of the boombox, and then Max abandons him and goes to find his dad, and his dad is fucking kicking the shit out of a guy.
His dad's doing some shady stuff.
We don't know what's going on. And then he, like, manhandles Max and kicks him out of the club. And then that's when Max sees his friend?
Max is like... Hey, Dad, I'm here. And his dad's like, okay, no, go away. I'm doing business. Get out. And Max is like, but Dad, I'm here. And Max's dad is like, no, seriously, I'm beating the shit out of this guy. Leave. And Max is like, but Dad, I love you so much, and I need your love to exist.
Yeah, he's like, I thought we were going to hang out.
Yeah.
It's like, his dad's like, I'm about to beat the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
For some sort of, like, business deal.
You've shown up at my workplace in the middle of my work day when you're supposed to be at home in bed.
Meanwhile, his mom has no idea where he's at.
Yeah, I think his mom's on a lot of Valium.
Yeah.
A lot of Valium.
Well, something happens. He talks about... He gets out of the club and he sees the bullies and whatnot. And the bullies are like, what are you doing here? And he's like, yeah, what are you doing here? And he's trying to look cool in front of the bullies. Saying, like, I can go up and take out the cassette out of the boombox in the DJ booth. And they're like, really? You could do that? And he's like, yeah. So apparently that's cool to do back then. And so he's like, all right. And they steal it, and apparently it's worth $1 million. I don't know why or what was going on, but it's very valuable.
It's definitely a cassette tape, maybe a demo reel of the white guy that was getting beaten up earlier. They allude to it being a recording of Shaq playing.
I was going to say, I thought it was just Shaq. I thought that was the whole deal. It wasn't clear. It doesn't matter. There was probably cocaine.
But there was something important about this cassette tape, and they're like, when they lose it because the kids steal it, Malik, the unquestionable bad guy of the movie.
Yeah, because he's foreign, so he's really sketchy.
He's like, oh my gosh, you lost it? It was worth $1 million. I'm going to kill you now. And the dad's like, I can get it back. Don't worry. So, like, you know, your traditional, like, heist-style movie. And so that leads us to, essentially, our second wish, which is Max being like, I wish for my dad to get his cassette back. This is also after he shows up in a glass of water and then, like, explodes onto a table, and Jack's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing here? You were just swimming in a glass of water, and then all of a sudden you're here. I don't understand that.
So Jack was getting the moves on with whatever, Asia
the
Moon?
Singer, star, lady.
Something Moon, you're right.
Yeah, so every time the Max kid yells for Kazam, either he summons Kazam to him, or he appears where Kazam is.
Yes.
That's the internal logic of the universe, is that if he yells for Kazam strong enough somehow, it will either take him to Kazam, or it will bring Kazam to him.
Yeah.
So he'll yell for Kazam, and Kazam will have a, like, headache sensation of someone is summoning me. And early in the movie, where Max is strong and Kazam is weak, mm-hmm. Kazam will just appear where Max is. But later in the movie, where Kazam is strong and Max is weak, Max will yell for Kazam, and either will bring Max to him, or if it is inconvenient in a narrative sense, it will bring Kazam to Max.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing that you haven't really seen in a genie connection before. Like, I don't think I at least have seen, because, like, I mean, okay, I don't have a whole lot of genie movies to go, or shows to go off of. I Dream of Genie, Aladdin, I think that pretty much wraps up the list.
I feel like there is the theme of Genie, I summon you to me.
Yeah. So, Kazam is not convinced that this wish is actually what the kid wants, but Max is like, I command you, and Max is like being a dick at this point. Jack's like, all right, fine, I guess, fuck it, I'll give you your cassette. And then, out of nowhere, summons the cassette, and then the next scene, the mom's like, where the hell have you been? And the dad's like, well, I'm gonna take him and, like, scold him, take him out of class, it's out of class. He's like, all right, so I'm gonna take him, and then
and
the mom figures him out.
And we only ever see the one teacher?
See, yeah, it's... Okay, clearly looks like a public school. But this is not... Like, the only time you ever see him, he's in the one class, which I think is geography.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he's answering principalities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at one point they're talking about former Soviet Union, and he's like, something Stan the man. Ha 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 ha, I'm a jokester. You're like, all right, kid, I guess.
Yeah, sure. If you don't want to learn your former Soviet Unions, look what happens to America.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Max.
God damn it, Max.
Max the current American electorate.
So, Dad gets pissed off at Max, and he's like, Nick
His
Mateo.
His father, yeah, Mateo.
Real dad.
Yeah,
who's
real
not been
father.
Around for 13 years. For 12 years. It's weird. He's like, in 15 years. I'm like, wait, the kid's 12.
Right.
It's been very clear. So where's 15 coming
You've
from?
You've been gone for a decade because you left when he was 2 and he's 12 now.
So I don't know where 15 came from. But then the kid gets his ass chewed out, and Max holds up the cassette, and the dad's like, oh, okay. And he takes it, and then Max leaves. It's like, oh, okay, that's awkward. What happens after that?
We missed the part where the building was burning down?
No, we haven't gotten
Max,
there yet.
Maybe no, Max yet. Has the cassette, but I think Kazam, this is the part where Kazam's, like, becoming enamored with, like, the rap lifestyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is, okay, so the night that the cassette gets stolen, Shaq, or Kazam, whatever, same thing, he goes into Malik's limo and eats goat's eyes. And is like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Hang out with Malik. Malik says that I have a career ahead of me in this business. And all
Yeah, that always happens to people. They eat goat's eyes. Malik says they have a career.
But according to our resident specialist, those were not goat eyes.
Yeah. So if you look at the anatomy of the eyes that are offered, goat eyes have a cross-shaped pupil. And I did not see these on the prop eyes that are offered. I didn't get really good clarification. They might have been sheep eyes, which have a dash-shaped pupil. But
this
they
is
were,
very important.
They were definitely not... Well, So the stereotype is typically sheep eyes. That's what I've heard, that you're offered sheep eyes as a delicacy.
Hey, Siri. Sheep eyes.
You don't read a lot of Discworld, do you?
My Siri's not working.
So anyway, I didn't see the cross-shaped pupil, so I did not believe they were goat eyes as a prop. I didn't see a dash-shaped pupil, so I wasn't certain that they were sheep eyes as a prop. A round pupil would indicate perhaps some other ungulate, like a cow, or...
All right, Kazam.
They ungulate. Ate eyeballs. That's
so they like ate it. Some eyes yeah. in the casino.
Whatever.
Casino? What the fuck are you talking about?
Where did the casino come from, Casey?
In the limousine.
Casino.
Oh, yes. I see where you got the two confused. Casino, limousine, you know.
Wait.
Same thing.
Was he driving the limo? The foreign guy?
No, it's not. It's no, it's a different.
No, he was it's eating goat eyes.
He was the one.
They were goat eyes.
He was slurping up the fake goat eyes.
That was the whole thing, is that Malik is creepy because he eats things foreign people eat. Ooh.
But also so does Shaq, and then you're like, wait a minute, who's the villain? Antagonist? Yeah. Question mark. And so, what? Okay, so yeah, we did talk. Shaq gets enamored with this like rap lifestyle, and he's all into it, and he's like, oh man, it's gonna be big. He's hanging out with Asia Moon, which is a stripper name if I've ever heard one. But
literally, no. I'm sorry. Literally, all of the female characters who may have been billed as Shaq's love interest were not given enough characterization for me to pay any kind of attention to them.
No.
No, she really, realistically, so Asia Moon was like the sidekick, like secretary of Malik.
But we don't know why. She was indebted to Malik for some reason. Oh, yeah. We don't know why.
She's like, you'll never know him as well as I do. Wink.
She had known him for 10 minutes at that point.
And she's like, I know him in a personal way.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there was the shot of Malik touching her face in the creepiest light.
Yeah.
She is not into this physical contact, but he has the ability to touch her in ways she is not comfortable with.
Oh, it's weird.
And then typical. Shaq's like, all right, I like this lifestyle. I'm here for this.
Typical 90s, we didn't understand any of the background stories of these women.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, 90s.
Weird issues of power balance and consent.
Yep. And apparently slave jokes. It's fine.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'm looking at the plot here. We got to keep going, Jordan, if we're going to hit yours.
Let's hurry.
All right.
So, he's got his two wishes in, and we did forget about one aspect. After they get past his bodyguard, Max is introduced to his father, and his father is all like, oh my gosh, it's my son. So this is before the night where he gets the cassette taken. And this is the night after that is one of the weird, awkward situations where Kazam shows up at his house, showers.
Yeah.
He's in his house in his bed with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
He quote unquote showers in his bedroom and then shows up and introduces himself to his mom as his tutor.
Who is scared but turned on.
She is really into Shaq.
Real turned on. And I get it. I see it.
Oh, Shaq, tell me not to scream.
Are those suspenders you're wearing?
She's like, oh, yes. But you're a tutor, you say.
And it's like 7 in the morning. Yes.
Yeah. And then, okay, so then she's like,
can you teach me the geography of my form?
She asks him, would you like to stay for breakfast? And he's like, French toast? Hells yeah, I would. And he sits down and she gives him some French toast. And Shaq,
she turns around.
She turns around to continue baking and cooking his French toast.
Oh, no.
Sure, yeah. No, yeah.
And Kazam is like, all right, I'm going to use my magic and I'm going to eat my French toast. And he levitates it, folds it in half.
Like a V.
And then instead of just, like, taking a fork and eating it, it shoots straight for her ass and then veers up and out of the way at the last second.
Yep.
And then it gets there.
It almost
and
glides off her back.
It almost,
She
has no idea what's going on.
Like, there has to be a breeze on her fanny from this closeness.
She doesn't notice.
Anyway,
she's
into his mouth.
And then the French toast flies into his mouth and he burps and she's like, oh, goodness.
No, hold on. But there's a particularly angry piece of French toast that is trying to penetrate the mouth of Max.
Yeah.
And Max is determined not to let that fucker in.
There are three pieces. All three have flown at the mom's ass.
Yes.
And then circled back to the table to have gone into Kazam's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And one is waiting to penetrate Max.
Ugh. And you, as we've learned from Clerks 2, you never go ass to mouth.
It's your turn, Casey. Please take it away. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no. There's a piece of French toast that really wants to penetrate Max.
So hard. Ah! Sorry. It's disgusting.
There's a lot. Anyway. As we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of, like, subtle creepy pedophilia in this movie.
There is one moment where Max is like, "Oh, you pervert!"
We're like, "Thank you, someone fucking said it."
It's when he's in bed with him.
I don't know if you guys noticed Shaq's pajamas, but they were pirate map pajamas, and I liked them.
You gotta search for the treasure.
You gotta get up in that booty.
Anyway, and Max goes to his dad's music bar, whatever.
Yeah.
And Nick concert Mateo
recording
studio. So we're
kicked.
Yes. Mateo. We're talking. Yeah. So is
oh,
he,
we forgot
this
the
is...
your mother joke. Yeah. Max is very Italian. He goes, "Your mother."
Your mother. Everyone in this movie is very Italian.
Very Italian.
Yes.
Except for Shaq. Yeah.
And we did skip as we went right to like the cassette. No, before the cassette, there is a mid movie rap song between Max and Shaq.
Oh, I forgot about the montage.
And they're like, "Who's the genie? I'm the genie."
It's very genie. Yes,
it's real weird.
Anyway.
It doesn't fit. I don't get it.
That's why we skipped it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Shaq, and he's looking right into the camera, and he's singing, and he's rapping.
This was just one long Shaq music video,
more or less.
You guys watched season 3 of Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
Okay. So there's jokes about how if you let your mistress record a music video, you don't play it at the board meeting because it's going to go on for 10 minutes because you paid for your mistress to record the music video. And I feel like Shaq paid for himself to record the music video. Don't play it at your board meeting, Shaq.
Shaq, no. Oh, we forgot to mention that this fucking movie was not just to TV, which is what I thought. I thought it was just straight to Disney Channel. No, this was a movie in theaters.
This was a very much a movie that actually happened.
I'm looking at this now, and you actually... Okay, it was only a $20 million budget, which even in the 90s is very low. This is a very low budget.
For the effects they had.
And the box office, I mean, this has got to be considered a flop, but it's $18.9 million.
Yeah.
So it didn't quite make its money back, but still...
Does that include international markets?
I don't know. It just says box office.
Okay.
But, yeah. So we've got this whole concept of Max wanting for his mom and dad to fall back into love asleep. I guess I know what I'm thinking about.
Fall back asleep.
And Kazam's like, "No, I can't do this because I cannot do ethereal wishes." And so then now this gets us to the whole concept of Max's dad getting beaten up because the cassette has been stolen, and he's like, "Oh my god, we got to get the cassette back." So there's where our second wish comes in. Later on, though, that night, when he goes back to his dad, he's trying to do one more, "Dad, I want to see you. I'm trying to help you." And this is the night where Shaq has his, big record deal, and he has this big performance, and Malik is like, "You're the man. I love you. You're the best person I've ever found." Because Malik is obsessed with him for multiple reasons. One, he thinks there's more to him because he saw this, gold piece fly out of his jukebox, and he knows there's something weird about him. But then he also knows that he financially is like his cash cow. He knows that he's going to get more out of him.
Right.
So he starts to see the boombox. You know there's something about the boombox. So he has his side guy steal the boombox, and then Malik becomes his quote-unquote master because he's holding the boombox.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But he has to get the last wish out of Max.
Yes, because
right.
until
within
that
like
point, he's still
reason.
Under
it's,
contract.
It's very sort of vague.
It's weird. It's your genie contract.
Sure.
Yeah. Your stereotypical genie conundrum.
You gotta have your last wish of the three wishes, and then you're free to perform other wishes.
Right.
Sure. Contract law.
And then...
Yeah.
whatever.
And this whole little boombox thing has going on, and Max confronts him. Malik shoves him down an elevator shaft, so Max falls down another three stories. This kid is a like human punching bag at this point.
He should be a quintuple quadriplegic.
Definitely.
Did you say what Max wished for, his third wish? Before all this happened.
That he wanted his mom and dad to fall back in love?
No, he wanted his dad to have a second chance. That's all. Just
for
his
dad
to have a second chance.
That's right. That happened in the midst of all of the crowd.
And Kazam was like, that's ethereal.
Sorry,
bitch,
man.
Bitch, I don't do ethereal.
Can't do
that's
it.
All. It's really vague. Sorry, can't do
second
it.
Second chance. Bye. Anyway, he falls down an elevator
shaft.
And Kazam freaks out.
And Kazam goes all Shaq Fu on everybody. And this is the moment where it got weird, because we heard something. So we're like, oh, did that really happen? So we went backward. And then we saw Shaq violate a man.
Yeah.
So...
with his hands.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was weird.
Oh, so bad.
The pre-really messed up thing was that Shaq, like, punched a guy in the chest and made him fly across the room. And as he flies across the room, the guy says something. Was it, adios, muchachos?
Yep. And we're like, no, he didn't say that. So we go back.
Muchachos or compadres?
Muchachos. Something like that,
Adios, muchachos.
Adios, muchachos. Yeah.
As he flies across a room. And
And
I insisted that we rewind it because I thought I couldn't have heard that.
Because there's no way that someone
It doesn't
would
make
say
sense.
That.
It was like a guy ad-libbed. He's like, I'm going to be on that goddamn soundtrack.
And God bless him, you know his agent fought to say, you can hear my performer say it as this character, so he doesn't just get credited as an extra. He is a recognizable role, and he gets additional benefits.
He gets another $20,000 for
Shaq,
adios, Machado.
Good.
And then Shaq, like,
and then
punch, grab and throw. But when he grabs, he grabs from
up
the,
in there.
He's grabbing this guy's ass cheek with at least two fingers, maybe
fingers
more.
So long.
Like, up his ass, and then he throws him.
You can see, so look at your hand right now, look at the back of your hand, and see how far your thumb sticks up along the joints of your index finger. You can't see past the thumb on the index or ring finger.
He got a couple fingers in there.
He is inside a man.
Yeah, and he gets in there, and he throws him. So not only does he throw him, but he's throwing him after not even buying him a drink. And he throws him, and he continues to fight. And essentially then we're like, oh, hey, we've gone an entire movie without referencing basketball. So Shaq is going to, like, crumble up Malik into a ball because fuck physics. And then dunk him into whatever seems to be this, like...
Hell? Like a chute.
It's like a trash chute or laundry chute. And you're like, all right. And then he does this, like, yell. He's like, Kazam! And you're like, all right, drink.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything's on fire. And we're like, what?
For no reason.
And while this fire is going on in a separate part of the building... Max is, he's not dead, but he looks dead. And Shaq,
he should be dead.
Shaq's like, oh no, you can't be dead. You have been my best friend in 5,000 years. We're like, wait, 5,000? I thought it was 3,000. But Casey explained that it was 5,000.
Supposedly. Whatever.
Since he became a genie.
It's bullshit.
3,000.
Sure, yeah.
Perhaps.
But he lived for 2,000 years as a normal human being before that. Okay.
No, Casey he was trapped for 2,000 years.
Yeah. Maybe he was a genie for 2,000, then he was a genie.
For like 5,000, he's been a genie, but for like 3,000, he's been trapped.
What have we learned from the 90s? Spontaneous fires happen constantly. Everyone can survive falling three floors, and genies can, you know, do whatever the fuck they want. That's what we learned.
Yeah, no, that's
seen Aladdin.
I mean, that's the 90s, yeah.
Thank you, the 90s.
Have you seen the 90s? That's
You're right.
Exactly what Aladdin is.
That's right.
Legit.
So he finds Max, and he kind of wishes that he's like, oh, man, I wish I could have given your dad this second chance that you wished for. And then all of a sudden he starts glowing and becoming really large, and then, like, becomes so big that Max, like, floats at his face, even though...
It was so awkward.
It's weird. He basically becomes like the like glowing version of Mufasa, and Max is flying at his face, and then we're like, oh my gosh, Max is being held by his somewhat stepfather.
But and it then, was Kazam turning into a djinn.
Yeah.
But
I don't get how he became a djinn because he never...
It's just what happened.
He's like, he couldn't perform ethereal wishes, but then I guess he did because Max's was... It came from the heart, but I'm like...
Yeah, because he really cared about Max.
That's not how that shit works.
It is
according to Kazam. Apparently,
I guess.
I don't make these rules, Aaron.
Okay, so it's like, so Travis carries him out and...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
Kazam Travis. Did carry him out at one point, but it was before he became a
And then, yeah,
dad.
Because then at
so Travis
the moment, the moment that Max starts floating towards Shaq's glowing face, that's when he starts to realize, yeah, that he is, or that's when Travis, like, is carrying him.
Carries him out.
So Travis carries him out.
Travis hasn't even zipped up his fireman's uniform. He just, like, does whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever this child needs because I love the mom so much.
And then he's okay. Max is fine. Max's dad comes out and is like, oh my gosh, I survived this somehow. I want to be a good father to you, but I'm going to go to jail for a little while. And he's like, all right, when you get out, we can be father and son again. This would be awesome. And then Max decides that Travis isn't such a bad guy, even though really the only thing that's changed is that he's had a better connection with Kazam.
Right.
And then we see Kazam walking away
with a wife beater.
Yeah, with
such
Asia.
A great example.
Asia Moon. And she's like, you got to get a job. And he's like, a job? What? No, I don't want a job. And then... Max is smiling and he's like, oh man, Kazam, what a little monster. He's such a little scamp. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, I guess the movie's over. Great. Everybody wins. Except for the guy that got smushed into a basketball.
Whatever, he's
dead.
Malik.
Yeah.
And that's the movie. I guess Shaq turned into a human also after he became a djinn.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the movie, and I don't know. It was better than I remembered it being. From I honestly think the last time I saw this, I was probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah,
it's been a while. So yeah, it was interesting. It was a good movie, and all right, this is. We're getting ready to wrap it up here. So let's go one by one and let's give our thoughts, our final thoughts, wrapping it up. And let's go 1 to 5. What's a good ratings scale for this one?
Mr. Big Bars.
1 to 5 Shaq fingers.
I don't think I can do any Shaq fingers. Nope, let's not do Shaq
fingers. Carly, first up.
I'm going... The middle three.
The middle three.
I'll go the middle three because I saw this in theaters when I was, I don't know, 8 years old. And I really enjoyed it. And frankly, this lived up to about how much 8-year-old Carly enjoyed something and expected 30-year-old Carly to enjoy it. You know, Shaq wasn't the worst. The writing was 90s bad.
Yeah, it was very 90s.
Yeah,
very
I'll go 90s. The middle 3 out of 5 Shaq fingers on one hand, right up
All right. Casey?
Honestly, it's going to be out of 5 Shaq fingers, it's going to be 4.
Wow.
Mm. I really enjoy this one. That said, I have a lot of memories of this film from when I was a child, but seeing it as an adult, it really lives up to what I remembered it being as a child. It really plays into that like 90s vibe, and it has Shaq, who really plays into that like 90s Shaq sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, he plays himself. Shaq is Shaq in costume, and yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And as an adult, when you approach this film, that's what you expect, and that's exactly what you get. So 5.
He just went up to a 5.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Best movie he's seen the past 20 years.
All right.
Jordan.
I was going to give it a 2 Shaq fingers. Ooh. But I'm gonna give it a 3 because Shaq looked fucking good. Seriously, I was so happy. I was like, man, accurate. Shaq looks fucking good. And honestly, he was not nearly as bad at acting as I thought, or as I remembered. I remember this being a horrible movie. It really wasn't that bad. The storyline sucked. Max was awful. Max is a horrible human being.
Max
a child.
Is garbage. He is. That all children are garbage.
Exactly. There's he's the worst part of that movie. Shaq was actually pretty decent. I was pretty impressed. He wasn't good. He was just better than I remembered.
Shaq had a movie like professional wrestlers are able to get movies now.
Oh, yeah. I think Shaq started that trend.
Yeah. Well, what happened first, Shaq or Michael Jordan?
Yes.
I think Jordan. Shaq. Jordan was in 97, I think, with Space Jam.
Michael Jordan's more of an asshole, though. Shaq's sort of actually nice.
But the idea of putting
it was 96 as well. These came out in the same year.
Yeah. So, whoever started it, if you took it more seriously, it's a good trend. You're a performer.
Yeah. Okay, so as far as I go here, I much like I did last time, I'm going to give it a twofold rating. I think as far as a film goes, it's going to get it's going to go 2.5 Shaq fingers. That half one is buried deep. As far as nostalgia goes, I'll give it a 4. Because, yes, it did bring back some wonderful memories. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Honestly, like, at least there was a plot. I mean, in comparison to Spice World had, like, it was more about the songs. This one had a music break, and I still had a little bit of a plot, so I can appreciate that. So, sorry, Nick. Spice World does not have a better plot than Kazam.
Oh, man.
He's gonna be,
shots fired.
He's going to be mad about that one. So yeah, 4 nostalgia, 2.5 on an actual film standpoint. And I think that wraps it up. Next week, what do we got coming up next week? Next week is, the Christopher Robin movie that is creeping Jordan out something awful.
I don't want to talk about it.
She will definitely not be the guest host on that one. We will be looking at somebody else there. But I'm probably going to go with Christopher Robin because, hey, Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, too, and all that fun stuff, and Piglet, and all those fun little creatures. We're gonna go old school and continue the nostalgia factor as we did this week. So everybody's kind of wrapping up here. We are gonna try to recover from a very long night, and hopefully you guys enjoy listening to this week. Thanks you guys for coming on. It's been fun. Jordan, thank you.
Thanks.
I'm pretty sure we're under an hour and a half. We are under an hour and a half.
Okay, wrap it up.
We got
thank
time.
You. Drive safe. Thanks for coming to the drive-in.
We got like 2 minutes. Bye. We can continue to wrap this up. You know, we got time.
Oh no, slow the wrap up. Like
we're gonna
enjoy it.
We're gonna like take some time. We're gonna like shack it up. We're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna go old school and smack it up.
Aaron,
I'm trying to do like a shack exit.
Shut up.
It's a very shack rap sort of outro. Yeah.
It's shacktastic.
Anyway.
As always, you guys can find us on Twitter through, you can Twitter at Drive and Eventide, or you can Twitter us at Drive and Eventide, or you can email us at driveandeventide@gmail.com. Casey and Carly, thanks again, you guys as well, for coming on.
Woo!
Absolutely.
And as always, the drive-in is very much opposed to drunk driving. So make sure that you guys, if you are partaking, you guys get home safely, as I always say.
Can
Uber
you
if you have
secret?
To. And get a friend to come by and pick you up or something along those lines. Do not drive drunk. That is not the way that we like to do things here. We are going to go to bed. You guys enjoy the rest of your night as well. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.